The views presented today are those of Crystal Langdon of Crystal Clear Finances and do not necessarily represent the views of Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. Have confidence facing financial decisions and learn the steps that are right for you. Join us for the next 30 minutes as certified financial planner Crystal Langdon helps make finances crystal clear.
Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances. My name is Crystal Langdon, and I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes as we provide financial clarity so that you can have confidence facing all of those financial decisions. Well, today we're going to be talking about giving and giving on all different types of levels. And I know some of you are saying, really? In the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of 2020, with everything that's gone on this year, you really want me to start thinking about giving? Well, you know what? Sometimes that's when our giving can be the most impactful. When we begin to realize how blessed we are, how much money we do have, how we really do have resources, and we can begin to reach out to other individuals. So I wanted to spend some time today to talk about some cases that I'm walking through right now where we have individuals who are calling the office that are saying, I want to set up foundations. I want to do charitable gifting. I want to make sure that I have a family legacy that outlives me, that can out impact just my immediate family, but I want to make sure that it goes on for future generations. And so I'm excited because we'll talk about that in more detail today. Now, for some of you who are listening who are saying, well, yes, someday I'd like to have a foundation, but not today. I don't happen to have an extra $10 million sitting in my back pocket. What I have found is this. Many times we have dreams and thoughts, you know, those, if I won $1 million, if I won $20 million, what would I do? Well, the thing about when you begin to dream about the possibilities is that we need to also combine those dreams with understanding the facts about them. We begin saying, well, if that really did come true, how would I put it together? And I can't tell you how many people have begun to dream and then began to find out more information on how that dream would really come to pass. And before you know it, well, it might take a few years or so, but they eventually begin living out those dreams. So don't discount yourself and say, oh, I don't have that $10 million sitting in my back pocket, Crystal. There are things we can do today right where we're at, whether it's $5, $500,000, $5 million, wherever we are, we can be in a place where we can begin to give to others. You know, one of the easiest ways that we can begin to give is just at our local charity, places that we believe the same way they believe. You know, one of the things that we do is whenever we're making purchases, whether it is vitamins that I'm going to order or anything online where I want to make sure, or even grocery shopping, where I want to make sure I make purchases, I actually look up the companies and see what it is that they do with their profits. I want to know. I had a company just the other day where I said, oh, I love these different shakes that they made. They were full of protein. It was awesome. My friend had made me one after we did our morning run. And as I went online to place this order so that I could have them, I began to look. I actually went on Facebook and looked on Facebook about this company. And as I looked at it, I realized, oh, it had so many things that they said when you looked under the About Us page that I didn't believe in. I thought, huh. And so I found a different organization that I could buy these protein shakes and all this other nutritious food, because here was a company that had a good product but did not stand for the things that I believed in or agendas I wanted to help use my money to help them prosper so that they could promote them. So one of the very first ways you can start giving is shopping at places where people have the same values or the same goals that you do. Now, one of the areas that I see a lot of giving that's done, and a lot of people say, well, Crystal, that's kind of sad when you talk about it that way, but there are individuals who will buy life insurance, not just for themselves and to leave something for their children or their spouse, but they literally, we've seen many churches that will go ahead and individuals in a church or a charity, some place where they're like, you know what? I want to leave something to this organization. So what can I do to leave impact? Many times individuals will pay $50, $75, $100 a month to be able to put a life insurance policy in place, and they list the charity as the beneficiary. Oh, we've seen that a lot. And one of the things that is so special about it is that when we're in that place, and of course, we always make sure that if someone's putting a life insurance policy in place, we want to make sure that the spouse and the children are first taken care of, that not all the money is going to some charity, but that charity starts at home and the family is taken care of. But as we're walking through this, being able to not only take care of the family, but to also begin to give to other organizations, because think of the rippling impact that has. When you begin to leave money to an organization, and if they've got a good plan in place, you've done your homework, then you know they can take those proceeds, take the proceeds and begin to impact even more lives. So when you're doing planning of giving, yes, there's ways to just be buying from products and food from places you believe in. I know we shop locally because we want to help support those locally in our community, but you can stand with them. You can also begin to, for a certain amount a month, depending upon, again, we want to be sensitive to cash flow, and we want to make sure that we're sensitive to make sure the family's taken care of before we start giving outside the family. We want to put insurance in place, and that can bless communities. So those are two very simple ways that really don't cost a lot of money. In fact, buying products and buying groceries is something we do every day, or maybe once a week, but regardless, it happens. And then buying the life insurance is literally just thinking outside the box and saying, wow, if I just pay $100 a month, could I possibly be leaving a couple $100,000 to my favorite charity? And one of the things that's nice about it is that you can even say, okay, well, I'm going to leave it to Performing Arts Center, or you left it to a charity, different areas that are close to your heart, and so it can continue on. You know, there's another area that takes a little bit more planning, and this is called a donor advised fund. And I had a sweet couple, and they came in, and what had happened was her mom had passed away. Now, in this case, she had received about $10,000 for an inheritance, and they were doing good. They had plenty of resources, plenty of savings. They weren't in debt, so they didn't need it to take care of their household. They were on track as far as what they were planning for retirement. So they said they wanted to do something to honor her mom. Now, her mom loved music. Her mom was a music major, and just everything about their mom was song, and they just said, how can we really let this go to future generations, not let the song die with her? And so what we did is we set up a donor advised fund in the mom's name. We said, here's the specifics of this. This donor advised fund is set up in a way that it can only go to 501c3 organizations that are going to either A, endorse music, and it's going to be involved actively in what they do. It's going to be used for scholarships so that these organizations could run scholarships for young children who couldn't go to music camp or couldn't afford instruments or couldn't afford voice lessons. All those types of things, my client was able to write out everything she knew that would be special to her mom, and she took this $10,000, and we put it in a donor advised fund, and then we invested it. So let me explain how that works, because it's so neat. And then every year, we're able to sit down together, and yes, we look at all the other investments they have. We look what they have for retirement, and we check what's going on there. Yes, then we go ahead, and we pull up the account. We say, here's the donor advised fund. Look at how it's doing financially, and then look at how many people's lives have been impacted for it. What we do is when there is a donation, when they say, this is what I want to set up in honor of my mom, or it could be a sister, but in this case, this is a real live case. She had the $10,000 that we put in. We put it into what's called a brokerage account, right? We set that up so that she can view it at any time. She can see everything. And whenever she would like, she hears of a need, maybe at her church, it could be at her local library, it could be at her local school, but she hears something that has to do with music, lessons, renting instruments, whatever it could be, voice lessons, the whole gamut. Then she notifies us, and we sent in a submission to the brokerage account, to all the accounting that's being done, and we say, we would like a check for X amount of dollars being sent to this charity. And then that charity is allowed to take it and provide music lessons for children, provide musical instruments. You get the idea. But the point of the matter is, many times when it comes to giving, we think it has to be this huge thing, millions and millions of dollars. And we're walking through a case right now where it is millions and millions of dollars, but you don't have to wait until then. I remember the first time that we started intentionally giving besides what we did to our local charity. And we had decided, because we live close to a high school, so a public high school, wouldn't it be nice if we could go ahead and set up a Crystal Clear Finances scholarship? And this way, individuals, as they were getting ready to graduate from high school, and you know the deal, as they're getting ready to go into college, we wanted to make sure that we had something that said, we appreciate you. We notice you. We did ours just a little bit different than most scholarships. Ours was not based on the fact that you had to have straight A's, because we know that many individuals work so hard, and yet they're not straight A students, but they're trying. And so what we wanted to see, more than the good grades, because we wanted them to have B and above, but we wanted to see, what was your involvement in the community? What are you doing as a teenager to already give back? Because I know if there's an individual who is sowing into the lives of others, who's doing things for the community and caring for others, oh yeah, that's the type of individual that I want to be investing in. How many of you can raise your hand and say, me too? Well, we can begin to do those things. I was surprised that when I went to the school and I said, hey, listen, I'm just starting out, but I want to do something above and beyond the giving that I'm doing locally and in my charity. I want to do something for a student. So I want to start. It was very small, like $500, but I wanted to start with that. So when we set the guidelines of, gee, they have to be a B and above, they have to have community service, they've got to be able to have recommendations from people besides their mother and father, but they had to make sure that they were doing good in the community, because we wanted positive culture change. And so we submitted it, it went before their board, and they approved it. So sometimes I think we anticipate resistance on being able to do something. But do you realize that as a family, you could do a scholarship? You could do a scholarship at a local school, and I know things are kind of crazy right now. Will kids go back to school in the fall, or will they not? It's July as I'm recording this, so we don't know yet. There's been no definitive answer, but children do need the resources to be able to go to college, because I have not heard of college being offered for free yet, so we know there's still going to be a need for resources. So let's kind of recap before we take a quick break. When it comes to ways that we can give, well, the first way that we can give is just in the places where we're going shopping for our groceries, for our products. We can look to see, what does that company that we're purchasing from, what do they stand for? What are they doing with their profits? What organizations are they supporting? And if they are organizations you believe in, more power to you. Shop away. Well, that's not a financial recommendation, but you can continue shopping there knowing you're creating win-win-win. The other thing we had talked about is, we had talked about the fact that many times we'd like to give a substantial gift to organizations that we love, because we've taken care of our families already, and we know at our passing that we would like to do something for someone or some charities. Well, one of the things that we can do is, for a very minimal amount, we could set up a life insurance policy, no bells and whistles, a very streamlined policy that is not about banking, but all about death benefit. And we could take that, and that could be a gift. Now, I know I've got a few surprises up my sleeve when I pass away, because there were some special people in my life besides my family, but I want to leave something to. So not only do we have things in place so that we can go ahead and give to local charities, organizations, places that just, you know what, I like the way they are, but also I have individuals who have no clue they're on a death benefit listed as a primary beneficiary, because these are surprises I want to leave for them. And you would be amazed how little it takes in order to set up these type of gifting vehicles that will be a tax-free blessing to those in your life. Now, of course, we always talk about the importance of making sure your family is safe first, making sure you've left something for them as opposed to gifting it to everyone else. And here's something, let me just say this. I cannot tell you how many people I have either met or other financial advisors who have told me, hey, this is what we're walking through in our office, where individuals have gotten married and have forgotten to take mom off as the beneficiary. Now, as a mom, I'm really thrilled that you put mom listed as a beneficiary when you first received your life insurance policy. But if you've gotten married, you may want to talk to your spouse about that, because they may want to be listed as the primary beneficiary. And if you don't have any children and you want to list mom or dad as the contingent beneficiary, you could always do that. Because primary beneficiary simply means, okay, you pass away. Even if the will says everything goes to my spouse, if you still got mom or you still got dad listed on that life insurance policy, guess who gets it? You're right. They do. And why is this especially important to notice? Because there have been cases where parents will be listed as the primary beneficiary, child gets married, there is friction between the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. Shocker right there, I know. But there's friction there. And then we've had cases where it was a new client coming over, so sad, where the mom was still listed, person passes away, mom gets the proceed, does not give anything to that existing spouse. So one of the things that we can do, quickly avoid this. This could be on your action item to-do list this weekend, is check the beneficiaries at work, right? Make sure at work you've listed who your spouse is, who you want the money to go to. If you're not married, that's okay. Just make sure you've listed it to someone. We also want to see if you have any individually owned life insurance policies that you can list and see who the beneficiaries are and put those on. And remember, if you have had children, we tend to remember on the very first one, because we're so excited, to add them to the list. It's wonderful. They magically appear, they get a notice, and we put them on as contingent beneficiaries. But by the time we get to the fourth, maybe fifth child, we kind of forget that these are the things we have to do. You need to think it through, because if you were to pass away and every one of your child was listed, except for one, how would they feel? And even though psychologically they would know, I'm sure they just forgot, they would remember, I was forgotten. So with that being said, let's take a quick 60-second break, and then we'll be back with more Crystal Clear Finances and on talking about how you can give. Although our nation is going back to work and the market is responding, how do you personally build your business, recover your investments, and restore positive cash flow? Evaluating the financial impact of COVID with a certified financial planner from Crystal Clear Finances can help identify strengths and recognize stress fractures within your financial plan. These critical insights can provide guidance, and with the right adjustments, you can confidently experience personal financial recovery. Call Crystal Clear Finances at 518-433-7181 and experience confidence for every financial decision. And we're back with more Crystal Clear Finances. My name is Crystal Langdon. Such a pleasure to be here with you each and every Saturday morning. And I'm excited about the topic we're talking about today, because we're talking about giving. And I know many times when things get tight, it is the last thing you want to do. But it seems to be one of the most freeing things that you can do, especially because you begin to realize how good you really do have it. And what I have noticed over the course of 20 plus years in this financial planning industry, individuals who give and have been giving from the time they barely had anything, it is so easy and it is so natural for them to give when they are older and when they have more resources, because it's become an ingrained way of life. Let's start where you're at. So you want to interact with one person in the same way you wish you could interact with millions of people. And you might not be able to impact millions of people right now because you may not have millions of dollars. So let's start with one. Let's start with what you can do. Now, I wanted to go over and really talk about how does it work with a donor-advised fund and what the difference is in regards to how everything works. See, we had some cases, and let's kind of talk about it. In fact, before I even go into more detail on a donor-advised fund or creating a private foundation or a public foundation, I want to talk about one case that we did a couple years ago. Very interesting case. We had a couple coming in. They were getting on in age, and they said, we're done. We're done with the business. We want to sell it, but if we go ahead and sell it, we have zero cost basis, which means, you all know it, that they would be taxed on everything. So we're talking several million dollars here on this business that they've spent their life building, but now they want to retire. They want an income stream and they're not quite sure how to do it. So what we set up was a charitable remainder trust. And we went ahead and they were able to take this business, put it in the trust, and then they were able to create an income stream that would last them for life. And then at the time of their death, when they passed away, the charity, remember it's called a charitable remainder trust, the charity got to have the remainder of everything that was left in the trust. Now you might be saying, huh, that's pretty neat. But I'm telling you something, when the kids heard this, when we proposed this to the kids and said, hey, mom and dad are going to put this several million dollars into the trust. That way they don't have to pay taxes. They're going to get an income stream. It will lower amount because they'll get this tax deduction. So then that will offset what we need to give them for life. And everything worked out. They said, excuse me, that was my inheritance. I know I didn't work in the business. I know I'm on the other side of the country, but hey, I'm part of this family and I don't like that idea. Now, to be honest, I don't blame them a bit. Because if you see mom and dad, chances are if they've had the business their entire life, mom and dad have worked long hours. And so the kids, even though now they're grown and married and on their own, they saw mom and dad less because of that business. So there should be some type of reward if mom and dad took the business and made that a priority in their life. So what we did was this. We went ahead, we put the business into the charity. The mom and dad, they were able to have a discount as far as the taxes they were going to have to pay. Instead of paying huge amounts, they were able to have a savings there. And we were able to liquidate that business inside the charity, sell it, and then we were able to have the several million dollars of proceeds in there so that we could turn around and create an income stream for them. And we set it up in a way so that they could have the income stream for life. They could go travel, do all the things that they love to do. But then what we did is we said, you know, instead of just calculating how much you're going to need as an income stream during retirement and having a little cushion in there so that you could go do fun things, let's make sure that it's a larger amount that's pulling out. And what we did is we calculated how much would it cost in order to have a $2 million life insurance policy that would go tax-free to guess who? The children. So now they're saying, if mom and dad took this several million dollar business and sold it, they had no cost basis, meaning the entire amount they received would be taxed on it, there would not be much left for inheritance after mom and dad received that amount and then mom and dad lived on it. But this way, by being able to take that business and we put it in the trust and then we turned around and sold it and then had the proceeds in there, have money come out to feed mom and dad, and then we had money come out and we were able to make it go into a life insurance policy, that means, and they have not passed away yet, but that means when they do pass away, now the children will get tax-free inheritance more than they would have if the parents had said, okay, I better sell the business and try, you know, meagerly live on this income of whatever was left over and then hope that somehow I'll be able to have a little bit of that left over for my children. Now the children are like, mom, dad, spend your money because we know you've set up for us so that they could have a life insurance policy. It was a win-win-win for everyone. This, to me, is great planning on giving. But you know what? When they came in our office, that wasn't the conversation. I had asked them, hey, so how can we help you? What made you come in today? You've been listening to us on the radio for years. What caused you to pick up the phone? And they said, we're tired of working. We've worked really hard and built this big business, and now we just need to sell it. We want to make sure we have time to be able to travel. We want to make sure we have time to do all the things we've dreamed of and worked so hard to, but now we're realizing we're going to lose most of it or a lot of it in taxes. How do we plan properly? And such a great example. I'm so pleased that they called. In fact, if you find yourself in that situation where you said, you know, here's where I'm targeting. This is what my retirement looks like. And now how do I get there? You've built this business or you have all these different stocks, but you've worked so hard for it. But in order to cash in, now there's going to be a lot of taxes involved. That's where sitting down with a skilled professional, certified financial planner like myself or one of our team members, my son, George the Fifth, or George Amador the Third. So we've got a couple other certified financial planners that are here that can help you walk through these situations so we can find the answer that's right for you. Just piggyback on what I said just a second ago with stocks. There are individuals who say, Crystal, I don't have, you know, a business that I put together. That was just something that's not in my makeup. And you know what? There are a lot of individuals who do not like running a business. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. So what they've done instead is they've bought stock. And then when they're looking at it, or they're saying, okay, well, I've have all this stock. It's not creating the dividends that I thought it would create for me. Now what do I do? You know, if I cash these stocks in, I've had them for so long, I'm going to pay all this amount in taxes. But if I don't cash it in, I only get these tiny little drips of dividends coming in. How do I reposition? Well, again, that is a great way where we can set up a charitable remainder trust or donor advised fund. But in this case, it would be a charitable remainder trust where we put the stocks in there, we let the trust sell it, and then we create an income stream for you. And then at the end, when you have passed away, whatever's left in that trust goes to the charity. Being a certified financial planner is so much fun because individuals will come in and they've got these type of financial questions like, tell me what to do. I've got this stock. I thought this was the right way. I'm thrilled with it. It grew, but it's not giving me the income stream I want. And so we plan the core expenses through making sure there's an income stream that will show up every month to make sure that the core expenses are paid, and then their play money can come from other places that we put in place. Well, I want to close today by talking about one last example. We're working on two rather large cases right now, several million dollars, where individuals have come in and said, I want to do something to leave a legacy in our family name. I want to be able to hold galas. I want to be able to hold fundraisers so that we can give more. I think of specifically one situation where this individual, there are fundraisers that they hold in New York City. Now I know right now we're in the middle of July 2020. Okay, there are no fundraisers that a lot of companies are doing, or I shouldn't say there aren't any, there may be one or two, but many have been canceled just because of everything going on. But if things were to go back to normal, if we were to look a couple years ago, there were many galas that were held that would raise resources to come into a public foundation, and the public foundation can then give gifts to help for their causes. And one of the things that I think is so neat is to be able to have a donor advised fund where individuals can put money into this fund, and then that donor advised fund can contribute to large public foundations. Now you might say, well, okay, big deal. This sounds like gibberish. What does that matter? I want you to play this out. Pretend it was you and you wanted to create something, a foundation, a legacy, and your whole goal was to provide a place where people could come and they could just be restored. They've gone through trauma in their life and you just want to provide a place where they can catch their breath. How many of us, just with what we've walked through with the pandemic, could use a week away where we could say, you know what? I just need to take a breath. Well, there are those who've been out there that have been walking through all this, that it wasn't just the pandemic. It was the loss of a loved one. It was loss of income. It was loss of job. It was loss of health. It was just so much that's gone on. And then can you imagine if a public foundation could have a home, could have a resort where people could go and heal? Kind of think of like Ronald McDonald House, different places where people who are hurting could come take a breath. Well, having a donor advised fund and then being able to have your donor advised fund feed the foundation and the foundation be able to take care of all the expenses and all the upkeep and everything needed, hold the galas and hold fundraising so that we could impact more people. See, those are the things that we start putting together in our office when we're sitting down with people. But you know what it starts with? It starts with, what are your dreams? Well, someday I want to give. I want to leave a legacy. I want to make sure I have impact. And some people, they're at that multi-million dollar level where they're saying, teach me how to set up public foundations, private foundations. Teach me how to do these donor advised funds. Teach me how to make millions upon millions of impact, right? Millions and millions of lives. And then there are others that say, hey, I'm just not at that place yet. Show me, help me figure out my cash flow, how I buy that $5 gift card and give it to one person a week, every year. Some can do donations to their local school where they can have a scholarship fund in their family name for $500. Some people can say, well, I can buy life insurance. I can spend $100 a month, and I can know that there are people that I can leave that to that have made a difference in my life. You know, I always think about Mr. Fox. He was my math teacher when I was little. Oh, goodness. I'm sure he's probably passed away by now. But I had wished if earlier on that I had thought of these things, I would have done things for my high school teachers. I would have done things for my elementary school, because they had such a dramatic impact on my life that I can still remember them today. Not saying that I'm old, but I can still remember their impact today. See, we all can give in different ways. Fancy ways, small ways. But the point of the matter is, it has to become a lifestyle. Giving can become a lifestyle. And if we wait until we think we have enough, we may never give. I meet people all the time. They say, I'm going to wait till I have enough money and then I'll have kids. And I think, oh, don't hold your breath. You just begin the process as logically as you can, and it just finds its way. And when it comes to giving, we do the same thing. Well, I'm looking at the time and realizing we are at the end of our time together. I want to encourage you to give our office a call at 518-433-7181, 518-433-7181, or contact us online at crystalclearfinances.com, and join us again next week as we continue to provide financial clarity so that you can have confidence facing every financial decision.
Have confidence facing financial decisions. Learn the steps that are right for you. Visit crystalclearfinances.com or call 518-433-7181 today and schedule a free initial conversation. Discover the strategy that is right for you and reach your financial goals. Crystal Langdon is a certified financial planner, investment advisor, qualified kingdom advisor, and a member of the Christian Financial Planner Network. Tune in next Saturday morning for more Crystal Clear Finances. Investment advisory services are offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Alpha Star and Crystal Clear Finances Incorporated are independent entities. The information provided is for educational purposes only and is not intended as investment advice for anyone. All information discussed is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. The opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not constitute financial, legal, or tax advice. Please consult your financial professional before executing any financial strategy.